You're my boy, Blue. We're going streaking. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom's Bible Roulette.
Oh, listen to me.
He's on a roll. Hey, no, I've been like programmed. We had to do multiple takes, so I apologize. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer. I feel like this one's going to be pretty humorous, too.
Oh, man, Father in heaven, we just want to let it go. We're just going to let it go because right now we are definitely not in control, and we just want to surrender ourselves to you, Father. Let whatever it is that you need everyone to hear, not just ourselves, but everyone who chooses to listen, Father God, that be what comes out of our mouths, Father. And we thank you. We thank you so much for your love and your patience, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Wow.
I sincerely apologize for that one.
I mean,
we've had to take so many takes tonight. Like, we've had to do so many retakes tonight.
We've had some runs today.
Man.
Usually we come in here, we zip and zap it out, and it's over with.
Man, this has been, we've been in here for about an hour and a half.
That time's off.
But still, yeah, about an hour and a half. And we're just now getting started.
We've been doing some things.
As we talked about a little earlier, I did have something that kind of popped up, you know, and it is a big deal. You know, the concept of confessing your sins and you will be forgiven.
Right.
That's a huge deal, but like kind of where I was kind of feeling a little uneasy at this is, man, I haven't really had, like, there's some stuff. It's just like, hey,
yeah,
that's, I can't unload this on this person.
Or, sure.
Or sometimes you feel like, man, I don't know if I trust them enough to unload this on this person. And you can't just take all your sins to everybody you meet.
Sure.
Because it's, man, that'll make your life miserable.
Have you ever been around a person who, like, you barely started talking to somebody and they want to tell you everything, like your whole life story?
Like TMI.
For one, it's a little uncomfortable for me because I'm not prepared for you. Yeah. Like,
Your diarrhea at the mouth is not for my ears.
I'm not the toilet bowl for that. No. You know what I mean? Yeah, but what I think you're kind of talking about a little bit is kind of like trust. Like, how do you know who to trust with it? When do you know? Yeah. What do you tell?
That, and I mean, like, it goes even this way. Everybody you trust, you can't unload all that on every single person you trust.
Yeah, you can't trust everybody with everything.
Yeah. So there's got to be a cutoff point. I know we're never going to know.
Sure.
But is it just at some point in your life you do confess all of your sins to at least somebody? Or do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do. And I think that,
I know it's a big deal. It's confess your sins.
Yeah. Well, in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sins to each other.
Yeah.
To each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. My first question is who's a righteous person? Well, none of us is righous in our own strength, right? So it needs to be someone else who's another believer, like an actual believer in Christ. You know what I mean? And I think that we all have some level of discernment. Does that make sense? Like, especially if we're focused on life and on this walk, like, we kind of can recognize, I definitely don't need to talk to this person because they're really good about sharing your dirty laundry with other people and stuff. Like, you can kind of recognize that without having a long conversation with somebody. You can just kind of see it. I think that.
But you may spend a lot of time with, I have had.
Yeah.
A person like that. Like, I've had that one person that I would try to talk to and try to, like, not, of course, at that time it was a different time in my life. I wasn't the same person I am now, so I was
sure
telling them about the bad things I was doing, the illegal things, the drug dealing, the all that stuff that I was doing, and they would go, and they had a personal relationship with the person that was my boss at the time, and they would go tell them, like, hey, man, you, because, you know, he, my boss actually thought I was a good guy, which I don't feel like I was a bad guy. I just made it. I just was making terrible decisions.
Right.
And he would always go be like, hey, you think he's such a good guy? Well, this is the kind of crap he's doing. Like, oh, he's doing this, and he's doing this, and he's doing some of this in the work truck, and he's doing some of this over here, and he's doing some of this. And I was
slandering
just like,
the heck out of you. Yeah.
Like, bro, why are you hating on me? Like, you're one of the people that buy the most from me. You know what I mean? Like, but it just, it that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, because that, you know, he was always such a, you know, like, the best friend I've ever had, man. I'll do anything for. I'd die for you.
Yeah.
And then, like, I actually had a guy come up and tell it to me, like, hey, he's not the friend you think he is. He's telling everybody your business. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he's telling everybody, like, including your ex-wife.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what the?
Yeah.
And then so when I actually was like, hey, dude, like, what's up? Like, why are you, why are you telling everybody my business?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm not telling it. I'm not telling all your business. I'm like, no, why are you telling everybody any of my business? Like, you sit and you talk about how you're my best friend and I'm the best friend you've ever had and you die for me and all that stuff, but you can't keep my secrets.
Yeah. It reminds me of when you were talking the other, a couple weeks ago about when we were talking about loving each other and saying I love you and like genuinely meaning it. And genuinely saying it. It's not just about saying the words. It's like, you know, the delivery, the way you deliver it is a lot.
Brother, I love you.
I love you.
I love you, brother.
Gotcha.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like when you say it to your wife, like, babe, I love you. When you say it to your kids, I love you. Have a good day. Like you say it and you genuinely mean it.
Yeah.
You can say I love you and just be like going through the motions.
I heard somebody say to one time, it's easy to act like you care when you really do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not an act at that point. Like, it's easy to act like you love somebody when you really do love them. And it's a shame that, because what that does is that actually hurts your relationships going forward.
Yeah.
Right? Because it makes it hard to trust people. We all have them, I think. I think we all have situations like that. But what you're talking about is not exactly the same thing, I think, because you weren't going in the manner of confession, I don't think. I don't know.
No, you're 100% right. Where that got brought up was just, you're talking about that you feel like you know early. Like, you talk to them for a little bit, and you're like, I can't trust this person with all this. Some people are snake in the grass. Like, some people really are good at this.
What does Jesus call them? Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, some people, that's what they are. And if, you know, people are envious or you know, hateful or just whatever. I don't know how to describe it without really just kind of sounding like a hater myself. That's not really what I'm trying to do.
Right.
But there are people out there that just don't like you because something good goes for you.
Or yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something, you know, a lot of people will say it about people that win the lottery. Like, why does he deserve that? Or why does she get that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, what I think what a lot of people don't realize about the lottery too is that it's actually a curse a lot of the times.
Most people don't.
They don't make it out of that with anything. They end up out of that bankrupt with nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
And
I know what I would do if I won the lottery, and it'd be completely opposite of what most people would do.
Yeah. I'm being dead serious when I say this. 10% is going to the church.
10% is going to the church. 10%. And
if I want $100 million, $10 million is going to the church.
Yeah, and I'm not doing anything.
You know what that does for your church? Ooh. $10 million. Ooh. Do you know what that does for a church?
Ooh. It's going to grow really fast.
And you, I mean, a lot of ministry. You gotta think, if you can't live off $90 million,
come on,
bro. Okay, bro. I'm not even in the 6-figure-a-year category.
Yeah, me either.
If I can't live off $90 million for the rest of my life,
yeah, like, I'm pretty sure I can figure it out.
I would have to live for
a million years,
900 years for this, something like for that. Me to spend what I'm averaging right now. Like, be for real. It's all about your, it's all about presenting yourself and carrying yourself in the same manner in which you are right now.
Right. Right.
It'd be real easy to get caught off guard and start just buying. I'm like, I have no use for a Bugatti.
Nope.
I probably would buy a Ferrari though. I really would.
I've always been a Corvette guy.
I'm a Ferrari
since
guy.
I was a kid.
I want a Ferrari.
I mean, that's not $90 million, brother. No. Not even $1 million.
I'm talking about like even at that, like you don't have to go buy a $20 million house.
Yeah.
You don't have to go buy multiple million-dollar cars. You don't got to have to go buy other like vacation properties. You don't got to do all that. Just carry yourself in the same manner in which you carry yourself right now. And you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That one or two little pieces of splurging, like I would probably buy my wife a Louis bag. Yeah. She wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But I'd buy it for her so I could buy myself a Ferrari.
What I would say a lot of that too, though, is like exactly what you're talking about, though, is people who become like you're looking at somebody who gets this huge blessing and is going to be like jealous of that. And so they start trashing you. Like that's a crap. That's crap. You know, realistically, you said to me quite a while back on one of the podcasts you were talking about, like, you know, one time you finally realized that I was for you, you know what I mean? As a friend, like, bro, your blessing is like, that's awesome. I'm happy for you. Like, I'm not jealous of that. Do I want some stuff? Sure. But that's not the point. The point is like somebody that I genuinely care about is getting something that they deserve. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, getting jealous? Come on, man. How is that helping me or you?
Well, you know, like when something good happens for someone that you truly care about, like in your in your heart, you 100% truly care about, something good happens for them. If you don't feel joy, you don't care for that person.
Clearly, you don't
care.
If
you immediately feel joy for them and you're like, oh my God, like, hey, that's awesome. Like,
so happy for you. So, yeah.
Damn, like, man, thank God for the promotion. Like, man, that's awesome, dude. I'm so happy for you. You deserve it. You've been working hard this whole time. Like, that means something. And that's a genuine reaction.
Yep.
But when, like, someone wins, I don't know. We'll just put it out this way. Me and you go to bingo. You spend $100 on bingo tickets and I spend $30. I don't know how bingo works. I'm just saying I'm guessing it's like you got to buy the cards.
Yeah.
You spend $100 on bingo cards and I spend $30. And I hit it on my first one.
Yeah.
And you're genuinely happy for me. That's true friendship. That's truly caring about someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And 90% of the time, like if I ever hit the freaking Powerball, we talked about this. We're all living ghetto. We're all hood rich at this point. You know what I mean? Like
we're all hood and we're all rich now. Yeah.
And this, we talked about this in the last episode. Like, Kevin wants a giraffe. We're going to get him a giraffe.
Yeah.
I want a kangaroo.
I want a silverback.
Yeah.
We want two kangaroos.
We're going to have those things.
Yeah.
We're going to have a moat with alligators and water moccasins, cottonmouths.
Like idiots.
But that was the topic of last week, just having fun. But on a more serious note, with all that being said, you really have to guard yourself against, because people are really good at presenting themselves in a way where they're like, hey, man, you're my best friend. You're my friend forever. You know how many friends have told me they're my friend forever? Do you know how many of them are still in my life?
Probably zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. That's,
I'm your boy forever. I'm your boy forever. Really?
Yeah. Where you at?
Where you at?
Where you been?
How come when I see you, you don't even know who I am? You don't even know what my life's about anymore.
Yeah.
I've gotten those random text messages from some of my old friends.
Yeah.
And I do this deal. I block every time I get a message that's very...
From the past,
yeah. Yeah. And you know what I mean. From the not so clean days. And as all the listeners know, if you're an avid listener, you already know, I used to be an addict. I was an intense addict. I did a lot of bad things. And I still do have people that somehow find... My phone number has changed probably 6 to 8 times.
Yeah.
Since then.
Yeah.
Don't know how they're getting my phone number. They are getting my phone number. And I'm blocking them. So then I find out that one of the people that I keep blocking has an app on his phone where he can change his phone number. So he's still sending me messages.
Yeah.
And it's not like, hey, bro, how are you doing? I mean, you doing okay? Or like, hey, I heard you're going to church. I heard you got baptized or any of that. It's none of that. It's like, hey, man, I got that good if you know anybody that wants any. And I'm like, really, bro? Like, I'm not even that guy. Like, when you say that to me, it makes me want to puke in my mouth.
Yeah.
Like, immediately, I'm like,
yeah.
So we do have a mutual friend.
Right.
And I asked him, I was like, hey, why does he keep reaching out to me?
Yeah.
I was like, I keep blocking him. How's he getting a hold of me? He's like, he's got an app on his phone. He can change his number. He can make his number appear as something else. I don't know. He says it's text now or something like that. You can change your phone number. He's like, that's how he's texting you. I'm like, how did he get my number in the first place?
Yeah, that would be my question.
Come to find out, it was from him.
Right.
He said that he's like, man, I hadn't heard from him in a while. I just want to reach out, see how he's doing. So the first time I heard from him, I was like, what the? Like, why? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. I can't. That's kind of thing, like, I don't hand out anybody's personal information ever unless I have permission.
If somebody wants your number, I'm gonna text you and be like, hey, bro, or I'm going to call you.
Yeah, hey, this dude.
Like, hey, I got this guy. Says he knows you. This is his name. He's asking if he can get a hold of you. I don't give nobody's number out without being like, hey, bro, can you mind if I give your number to this guy? This is who it is.
I would never do that.
And if you said no, I'd be like, hey, I have no problem turning and be like, man, he said no.
Sorry, bro.
All right, bro, he don't like you. Clearly, he does not like you. But I'm also that guy, too. I'm also that guy. Like, I will go to bat for you. Like, if you say no,
right,
and this dude's like, hey, man, no, just let me have him. I'll turn around and be like, no, he don't like you.
I already told you.
If he told me no, it means he don't like you. Like,
sorry, bro, just telling you. But you're talking about exactly what we pulled up here in Scripture, too, where it says to beware of false prophets, right? Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are actually vicious wolves, right?
But on the inside, they are hungry wolves.
Yeah, that's a different version. Ooh,
I know it is, but that one just, like, stuck out.
It sticks out.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Watch out for false prophets. They come to you pretending to be sheep, but on the inside they are hungry wolves. Yeah. What version is that? What is the
NIRV? New International Reader's Version.
Okay.
That's new to me.
That's new to me, too.
There's a lot of different ways, translations, but, you know.
So did you know? I'm sorry, this is very off topic.
You're good.
But there is a recovery Bible.
Yes, I did.
I saw that, and I'm like, where's this been my whole life?
I think we talked about it once before. Maybe you didn't remember. Maybe me and it was one of the times Tanner was in here.
Probably.
I think we did talk about it because
but you know where this is like shredded cheese right now.
I think the very first Bible I ever read was a 12-step Bible. It was a recovery Bible, right?
Okay, I do remember that.
Right, so the first one I read from front to back into completion was that version. And it's still the Bible, but there's a lot of extra stuff in there, right? Like for people who are in recovery and stuff like that, what do they call that, the serenity prayer, you know?
The whole thing about the concept of recovery is you are never recovered.
No, you're constantly in recovery.
You are forever in recovery because
once
you develop that taste that I'm going to be honest with you sitting right here. I think about it and it's.
Yeah. We've had a couple conversations before about it.
It's there. It's there. It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Anyways, to go back to the whole point of this, when you start really considering where you're at in life, the people that are close to you, that's what I'm asking. Like, I feel like I can take anything, and I know I can take anything to you. And I feel like I can take anything to most of the people in my life right now. But you know, like, you know what I mean. There's people out there that you're, they're still going to listen to you and you'd be like, what the, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mean, I think that that's partly people don't have respect for you when they act that way, right? They don't recognize how much work you've put into being the man that you are today, right? And it's because they only have only, okay, so like what you're talking about, like somebody from your past comes up and they instantly judge you for what you were and not where you are right now, right? And they don't even take 5 seconds to recognize what you had to go through to get where you are right now. You know what I mean? Like your testimony, meaning like all the things that you've been through to get where you are right now, is a weapon against the enemy. I don't know if you people recognize that. Like we're not meant to be perfect. We're meant to fail. I mean, we're meant to go through hard things in life.
It's did you learn anything from it, or are you going to keep going back to it? I think that's kind of
That's kind of the message. You know what I mean? Right. Like you're fighting a battle that you continuously have to fight because you're constantly in recovery.
Yeah.
Right. You're never truly recovered. Now you may be further recovered than you were when you started by a long mile, but well, it only takes one time to mess it all up.
Absolutely. I am. I mean, there was a time when I could barely go a week. Like I would go through this, like I'm done. And I might make it a week. And then it got to a point where I made it, okay, look, I can make it 6 months. And then I made it 3 years.
Yeah.
And then, poof, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those, I think you have to get to that point where you get mad at yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, look, dude, enough. Like I was actually at a point where I was ashamed, disappointed, and really pissed off at myself.
Right. I mean, I can understand why, right?
And then, you know, the whole freedom thing, you know, when someone starts threatening to take that away, it's kind of like, okay.
I got you.
I really don't want to be. I'm Captain ADD as it is. I don't need to be cooped up in a 12 by 12 cell. you know what I mean? Where I can't, if I can't get up and move, it's going to be a problem for everybody. I can't even sit still in a chair.
You know, sometimes, and I think that there's a fine line situation here that we should kind of talk about, like, if you spend a lot of time around churches, especially good churches, they'll talk about how, you know, we're supposed to love everyone. That includes your enemies, right? That includes people that you don't really care for, quote, quote, right? People you don't like, unsavories of the world and all that kind of stuff, even people from your past.
That one's a hard one.
You are. Look, here's the thing. You are meant to love them, but you don't have to keep them in your life to love them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that that's something that people really have a hard time with, like reconciling that with life. Like I've got many people, like you said, you know how many people have said to me, like, bro, I'll be your best friend forever. Or we're friends for life, or I'm your boy for life, or I'll die for you. And they're no longer part of your life.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing about true relationships is they go through thick and thin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They go through difficult times.
You
can go
through a time where you may not talk to them.
Yeah.
For a little bit. But then you, if some, like, there's always that thing, that one thing that was going to draw you back.
Yeah. I had a friend.
Sorry, my allergies. My voice is like going from clear to raspy.
I like the raspy one.
I wish I could make that my patented voice.
Conjure it up at any time. You know, the friend that I've had the longest, we went a long time without talking. You know what I mean? Like a long time. And there are multiple factors, nothing that had to do with us personally between each other. Yeah. Just life, you know what I mean? But it's one of those people that as soon as you talk to them, it's like you never stop talking to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there are things that they don't know about current events.
I do have some of those. I do have some of those. But as far as the, like, where we were at back then.
Yeah.
It's not quite like if I'm going through something, typically they're not there for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or if I'm not, like, if we're not into the same thing at that moment in time.
Yeah.
Then, you know, like, how come you don't want to hang out? Like, because I don't really want to do that right now. Like,
right.
That's not really what I want to do. Like,
yeah.
I just, other outside of you and Kevin, well, you kept, like, our Bible study group.
Yeah.
That's the one people, like, that's the only people I can go to and be like, hey, look.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going through.
Here's the deal. Yeah.
And
that's still difficult.
Like, everybody's like, well, yeah, but everybody's still like, okay, well, come on. Come hang out. Like,
yeah. Let's get through this.
I texted you, I called you 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, I'm leaving. I'm up here drinking. I'm going to come to your house.
Yeah.
What, I want to come watch the game. You're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, well, actually, I called you and was like, hey, do you mind if I come to your house? And you're like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move your ass, bro. What's taking you so long?
Yeah. And yeah. I was just sitting and drinking by myself. You know, I was up at the bar just drinking, and I was starting to kind of have a bad feeling about myself. And like, outside of my Bible study group, those are the only people that I can ever go to.
Yeah.
You guys are the only ones that I'm like, hey, and I unload my baggage 90% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, the other 10% of the time, you're the only one that gets it. Actually, it goes the other way. 10% of the time I unload in Bible study, and the other 90% you get it.
But that's okay. And you know what? I need to tell you, like, that's an honor to me. Like, somebody reached out to me pretty recently. Just kind of somebody close to us recently reached out and was just kind of thanking me for, like, being somebody that could be that. You know what I mean? And I'm like, look, I don't think that you guys understand how much of an honor I take that.
That's awesome that you consider it an honor. But do you ever get to unload all of yours? Because it's not just it. The burden shouldn't just be on you for people to unload theirs to you.
Sure,
you should have people to unload to.
Yeah, I
not
think
just
that,
be unloaded onto. Yeah, man, absolutely. That sounded terrible. That sounded so terrible.
My mind
anyway,
just went to the gutter.
You
quick.
Should have. You should be able to get things off your chest, the same way that everybody's bringing all the baggage and problems that they carry. You should have that. You should be able to do that. And I know, like, I know for a fact, and it does not hurt my feelings, that I'm not the guy, because you carry all of my burdens.
Yeah,
well, I can't be the one that you are dishing off all of your burdens if you're carrying all my burdens.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Dude, really?
I mean, but look, I honestly look at my life in a way that's like...
So you just carry all mine and yours at the same time?
No.
Do you see what you understand what I'm saying?
But I don't know if you notice the times when I do unload, right? Like, maybe you don't see them as those moments, right? Like, I'm pretty honest with you guys at the Monday night group here. You know what I mean? I'll tell you things. Like, when I'm saying it, that's what's going on inside of my mind.
Yeah, I know. But you have a way of saying it that it's not like, when I come to you, I'm like losing my ever-loving mind.
I got you.
Okay?
Man, I don't know how to
explain how
that.
You're doing it very passive-aggressively is basically what I'm saying. Like, you're doing it so incognito.
Oh, man.
If you're unloading it, you're doing it like sniper style.
Bro, that's the thing. That's weird to me because I feel like I am a trembling child on the outside.
Because
that's what's going on inside.
Yeah, every time I'm getting things off my chest, I look like a raging lunatic. Every time. It doesn't matter. I do. I'm freaking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My blood pressure's up. My IQ is way down. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just doing everything backwards.
Yeah.
If you are getting something off your chest, if you are actually unloading life, if you're unpacking it,
yeah,
you do a very good job of doing it like you're not.
Bro, I have to think that comes from decades of faking it. I mean.
Or is it spiritual maturity?
It's probably a little bit of both, too. I mean, honestly, there was a time when I could not contain my emotion at all. Like, and I still have a hard time with it sometimes. Like, I think that you've kind of hit a nail a little bit on the head. Like, I'm in such a different place today than I was before. Like, you don't know John 10 years ago.
No, I don't.
You know what I mean? And
I know John 7 years ago.
Right. And
we weren't, like, we hit it off real quick and then...
And then went apart, right?
Yeah.
And then I have to be, but that's who I am. I came to you and was like, bro, what's the deal?
Yeah.
Right? How many people are that honest to actually just be like,
hey, what happened?
Like, dude, I thought we were cool. How did this turn
out? We were always cool.
Yeah. It just, there were some things that caused an issue.
Yeah. There was an outside voice just like, hey, this is how it's always been for me.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to be for you. Yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, oh, really? And then...
My question to that whole thing is, how did I get on the inside? You realize I'm an outsider too, right? Yeah. Like, how did I get on the inside while all y'all were standing on the outside? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't.
Well, okay. So first and foremost, that whole situation, what everybody needs to understand is the fact that we came together really quick. We bonded really fast.
Yeah.
And then, there was an in-law that kind of started coming back into the picture.
Yeah.
An ex-in-law, I guess. And somehow or another, that
wolves and sheep's clothing.
Yeah, that's somehow or another, that's actually the one that I really started to kind of lean to.
I think it started out due to business.
Yeah.
It was, I think that's probably how it started.
Yeah. Business and, you know, at the time, our wives were closer, a little closer than mine and yours, like mine and his were. Right. A little closer at that time.
Right. The three sisters.
Yeah. and it goes through phases.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it does. And that's okay. It's none of my business and I don't care.
Yeah. I'm out of that.
I think that had a little bit to do with it too. And
sure. It
just kind of, things started kind of getting a little awkward there.
Yeah.
And here, like between me and you, between me and him, it started getting a little awkward. Between me and you, it started getting a little awkward. I think I was trying to figure out, like, okay, where's my place in this?
Yeah.
And it was just always like there was that voice, like, don't worry. Like, I'm like, I've never been accepted either. It's okay.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm like, you know, typically it's like, okay. You know what I mean? And I did, unfortunately, I kind of slid into that trap.
Yeah.
Which is no one's, it's no, like, I'm not, sure. It's not his fault. It's,
no.
It's not his, it's no one's fault. It's my fault for not keeping an open mind and being like, hey,
yeah,
you know, like, I shouldn't have to make this decision.
Right.
Which is genuinely what the whole situation was.
Right.
It's not anyone's fault, but I should have been smart enough to know, like, hey, if you have to make this decision, this isn't a decision that you should be making anyways.
Right. Right.
And no one should ever, you should never be forced into that kind of decision. So that's shame on me.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two is I really should have never backed away from something that was actually developing really good.
Right.
You know, like we actually had a lot of really good times. We had a lot of good times at the lake. We had a lot of good times at, you know, we have this huge family Christmas party. We used to always have a good time there.
Yeah. Yeah, there was never a time when it was like, this is bad.
Yeah, what did we go through? 3 30-packs one Christmas party, me and you?
We had a few poker nights.
Yeah, we've had some really good poker nights. And looking back, it's real easy to say, you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Of course.
It's easy, real easy to say, like, oh, man, what a dummy, you know.
Yeah, but of course.
At the time, like when you're living in the moment and having to make these decisions live, things are a little different. Just what I didn't really realize was the fact that I was putting myself in a position to make a choice when I never had to even make a choice.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That to have to make a choice in that situation is just totally asinine. Like you shouldn't. Right. That's not what family's about.
Right.
First and foremost.
Yep. There's one thing that I know, and we were kind of talking about these cycles with the sisters and stuff like that, dude. My mom taught me years and years and years ago, and look, I have a bad family history from a young person and stuff like that, but she just taught me about, look, with family, this is just things that, this is just happens.
This just happens.
There's going to be ons, there's going to be offs, there's going to be on again, off again. Those are the relationships that you should work towards, though, because, you know, having on again, off again boyfriends, those aren't, or girlfriends, you know, for me, you know,
Well, thanks for excluding me, Dick. Girlfriends for me, too. I'm straight, okay? But I'm married. I'm married, so I don't have to worry about exes, okay?
I'm talking about when I was very young. And okay, I was talking
you said girlfriends for me. Like you were leaving me sitting at the table like, dude, no, I've never been into dudes, bro.
I didn't mean it like that.
Damn, son.
My bad. Girlfriends for both of us. But you know what I'm saying? Like she would tell me, like, look, with family,
it's different.
This is kind of what happens.
Yeah.
There's gonna be good, there's gonna be bad, there's gonna be fights, sometimes ugly ones, but you're still family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the I know, right? The difficult part of that, to me, that situation specifically is
I don't know how to do that.
What's that?
I don't know how to do that. What? I don't know how to have a disagreement with my family members and still be family. Okay.
I think I'm the only one.
I've witnessed it with y'all.
Yeah.
When I have it doesn't matter who you are. If I have that serious of a disagreement.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck. Like I can beef with somebody. Let me not sound so hipsterish.
Yeah. Come on.
I can have a slight disagreement with somebody and still maintain composure.
Sure.
But when I have a fight with someone, not like a physical fight, like a mental verbal fight.
Yeah.
With someone, that just brings a whole new perspective to me that I just don't know how to get past that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes sense, but
yeah, absolutely makes sense.
Like even with coworkers, once I have like a actual verbal or mental, like when I say mental, I mean like anything but physical, because clearly if you have a physical confrontation with somebody, typically you're never going to be friends again, or you're never going to be able to get along.
Yeah.
If y'all start beating the crap out of each other, you're not probably ever going to get along.
Things are changed. Yeah.
Yeah. But even sometimes the mental and the verbal battle can be just as damaging.
Right.
You know, sometimes the things that come off your tongue are just as hurtful as punching someone in the face.
They're vastly
especially
more
loved
powerful.
Ones. Especially
yeah.
loved ones.
Yeah.
Like the things that come out of here are way more deadly than the things that come off of your knuckles.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'll take a punch in the face way faster than I'll take all those words.
That's the one thing that I just don't know how to, I don't know how to work past that.
Well.
I know it takes time.
Yeah, and it takes commitment. Like, you have, bro, we could talk through this for all night long.
I just watch how those girls are to each other, and I'm like,
how do y'all get past all this?
Yeah, like, how do you even like each other anymore?
Most of the time, they don't. For a while, I would tell you that you brought up the power of the tongue, right? And how powerful it can literally bring life or death.
It can. Sometimes your tongue will do way more damage than if you punch somebody in the face.
It definitely
does.
You
can say some things and that you can't take back.
Let me tell you something. I've got scars on my heart that are deeper and still more prevalent than I do from any fight that I've ever been in.
Yeah.
From any punch in the face, from any physical altercation I've ever been in.
Yeah.
I think the first part of how do you get to that is seek first to understand.
Yeah.
right? It says in James, when he's talking about the power of the tongue, to be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yeah.
And thus slow to anger, right? Which means we should take the time to let me understand what it is you're mad at me for. Let me understand what it is that we're disagreeing about. I'm not understanding. And instead of talking, just listening. And it's hard.
It is hard.
That's a,
because usually when you feel like someone's mad at you, you're like, what did I do?
We get defensive.
Yeah.
I want to defend myself.
What did I do? What did I do to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to defend myself. And
yeah. And you may, it may not so much be what you did to them. It may be what you did in front of them or you did.
There's any number of
things. Yeah. It's it could be what you did in front of me. It could be what you did when I wasn't here. It could be what you did while they were watching. It could be like what you said while she was sitting here or like what you said in front of my mother or what you said in front of my sister. It's the list goes on and on.
Yeah. With wives, it could be what you did in my dream.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
Yeah.
Like, I hate you. What I do? You know what you did? I was dreaming about it last night. I don't live I don't live in your head, dude. No. I can't say anything because I have had those bad dreams and woke up and I've been mad at my wife.
I get it.
I really have.
I have woke up with my feelings hurt before.
Yeah.
About some stuff that happened in a dream.
But it was only because she was with somebody that I know, like she, right? And I was like, "How could you do that?" And I woke up and I looked at her. I'm like, "I don't want to look at you right now." My mind, my dream, but I'm pissed off at you.
You're terrible.
You are a terrible person. And I realized how stupid I sound.
For sure.
But that's how easy things can get blown out of proportion.
Yep. Well, and look, in today's day and age, communication has gone out the window, right? Like, everybody does everything through digital media, text messaging, doing it on emails and stuff like that. And, bro, it's way easier to be aggressive through a digital thing than it is to do it face-to-face. And I actually have the testiculars to say, hey, bro, what happened?
Where are we at? I will tell you something about that whole situation that I think has really killed the culture of communicating or, like, the culture of communicating for, like, this generation. And when I say this generation, I don't mean, like, the young generation. I don't mean, like, the old generation. I mean, like, human beings as a whole.
The day and age.
Yeah. Where the time we're living in right now.
Yeah.
Everybody is so quick. Like, a lot of people text their bosses that they're sick instead of calling. You know what I mean?
Yep.
A lot of people text about business because they don't want to, and they don't have to talk. I hate texting some of our subcontractors or some of the people that are working on some of our equipment. I hate it.
Yeah.
But I have to because I call and they don't answer.
Yep.
And then I send a text and then I get a response.
Yeah.
So now I know, like, okay, hey, they don't like that confrontation. And I do. I want to know. I want to know right now because I want to hear your voice. Like, if it's something if you're working on something of ours, and you're pissed off about it, I want to know because I want to know, like, okay, hey, what I told him was wrong wasn't right or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, prime example, one of the people that works, one of the companies that work on some of our equipment, their service director is a female. Very sweet lady. I mean,
yeah,
very nice. I was trying to send her a message about where some of our stuff was at.
Yeah.
And not any other purpose.
Yeah.
And so as I'm sending it, it's like, well, I don't know where that's at. Well, I'll drop a pin. Like, I can drop a pin, or I can give you the number for the guy that's out there.
Yeah.
And you can send that to the guy you're sending out there to fix our equipment.
Yeah.
And he can call him and he can send him the pin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, over text, it sounds really crappy. And then finally I was like, man, you know what? So I call. I'm like, hey, look, I'm sorry. I'm going through a lot right now. Like, I'm trying to do some paperwork and stuff. Sorry to bother you. I just figured it'd be a little easier if I called you. And she's like super sweet about it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no problem. Like, no, I I get it. I totally understand. Like, yeah. That's how text messages can totally ruin
instantly
something that's going on.
Yeah.
She was super receptive. She was super polite. She took down the superintendent at the pitch. She took down his number. She's handing it off to her mechanic. He was going to deal with him. We were totally going to end what we had right now. Like, it was great. The most enjoyable experience ever.
Right.
But at first, it started out really drama-filled, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? What did I just do? Yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to be all this. I'm just trying to help you get out there. Like, y'all have never been there. This is something that's new. But it took me just like, hey, like, you have to, at some point in time, humans have to talk voice to voice.
Yes.
Text message is so robotic.
Oh, goodness.
Emails are so robotic.
Yeah.
The tone in someone's voice, the demeanor in which you see them, if it happens to be face to face, that can totally change the conversation. Now, if it's going south, then you know it's time to get defensive, or then you know it's okay. Look, this dude's a freaking jackass, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm the jackass, whatever. But
yeah, probably.
But you know how it is. Yeah. Then you know. But to assume you can't express emotion over text message.
No. Look.
To assume is just.
Makes an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
Look, 80% of communication is body language. 80%. It's 20% is the words.
Yeah.
80%
to hear someone's tone totally changes it.
Tone. Voice inflection.
The way they're carrying themselves. If they're looking, if they're sitting here.
Yeah. Crossed arms. Yeah. I'm not listening to you anymore. Yep. I mean, seriously,
you can
bro.
You can read a lot off of people, and you can't read none of that off of digital texting or emailing.
Not in a live conversation. No. You know, when you're reading a book.
Because I started to jump to conclusions like immediately. I was like, damn, this chick is a freaking bee. You know what I mean? But then I called him like, hey.
If you think about like reading a book, right, they feed you all the details before they get to the conversation, right? So like you understand the context of the emotion in the conversation. You cannot understand that in a live conversation through text message or email.
Yeah.
You cannot possibly understand it because they're not on the other end going, I have a smile on my face. I'm glad to hear from you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like smiley face. So glad to hear from you. Smiley face. I didn't ever think I'd hear from you. Smiley face.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's not what they do. It's like, hey, what's up? What do you want?
In a text message, there is no painting a picture.
No.
In the writing of a novel or in the writing of a book, there is a picture that's painted before the conversation happens.
Yeah.
Right? That you're reading.
It's called the lead up, the suspense. They build it up for you. And
yeah. And now you understand the context of the conversation, what you're talking about, and what we're talking about is that's not the case, right? So in order for us to have effective communication, we have to have those conversations in front of each other, right? And to learn how to effectively communicate and have an effective quote argument.
It's not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily have to be an argument though.
Argument's not a bad thing though.
Yeah, but you can like civilly disagree.
Absolutely.
Without having an argument.
Yeah.
Like you really can. I've seen it. I've watched you and your dad.
Yeah.
It started really heated, but then it was just basically just a conversation.
Yeah.
Of both of you explaining your points. And it ended so civilly, I was actually disappointed. Like, how have I never been able to do this? Not disappointed in y'all, but disappointed in all the interactions I've ever had in my life. Like, how come I can't do this? Like, dude, what if I'm sitting there looking at myself like, dude, what a dork. Like, how come you can't do that? It's because I don't have the capacity for that.
Yeah.
Yet.
Thank you. Because I think you do. You just haven't reached it yet, right?
Like, I haven't reached it yet.
And I think that that goes into that same conversation about the parts, the words, the power of our words, right? We have to bear in mind what we say about ourselves too. And when we're telling each other or telling ourselves, like, I can't do that, I'll never be able to do that, that's, I don't have the capacity for that, that's all you're doing is stopping it from happening, yeah. Right? You are growing. Are you there now? No.
No.
But you can get there.
I'll be there.
You have to commit to it.
I will be there.
Exactly.
I will be there.
That's right. You know what I mean? We got to figure, and it's one step at a time, bro. You're going to fail 100 million times before you ever get it right.
Yeah.
You know? I got it way wrong, way longer. You know what I mean? The difference between me and my dad, though, is like, bro, we've been through it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we've had these battles where it did not go well.
Yeah.
I mean, many times. So, you know, we worked toward that. And it's at some point, we've talked about it before, at some point you have to go, okay, I just need to understand what we're mad about. Why are you mad at me?
Yeah.
I'm going
to
stop.
What's the disagreement about anyways?
Yeah, we got
to
get to that.
What are we doing? Why are we struggling to come to an agreement here?
Seek first to understand.
Yeah.
And then to be heard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's hard, bro. It's very hard.
Oh, of course.
Especially in relationships where you genuinely love each other, marriages.
That's the one, those are the ones that you get the most hurt. Like your feelings get the most hurt.
Yeah, but we also take them the most for granted.
Yeah.
We take for granted that they're going to accept our BS.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we take for granted that they're going to accept the fact that we're broken and terrible. Yeah. and we can say what we want to say.
Insecurities or
yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a good one to finish this one off.
It's always a good one.
No, this one really is a good one. Okay. You heard it earlier. I tried to drop it in one of our commercials, but it just didn't sound right because you have to add the context. Because everybody knows this is a dad joke. So here it is. My dad once said to me, "I find whiteboards pretty great." Then he looked at me and said, "Actually, they're remarkable."
They're remarkable. Yeah,
stupid. Confucius say. Man standing on toilets high on pot.
This is interesting. I don't know why this is kind of, I don't know. It kind of makes sense to me that this would be the one. George Bernard Shaw.
Ooh.
We are made wise not by the recollection of our past, but by the responsibility of our future.
Say it again.
We are made wise not by the recollection of our past, but by the responsibility of our future. So totally about growth.
So not the reconciliation of our past.
Yeah, no, it's not
the
about
responsibility of our future.
Yeah, it's not about what we've learned. It's about what's coming.
Okay, so let me have that top card,
please, sir.
For everybody that doesn't listen to any of our Bible roulettes,
shame on you.
No,
I'm just kidding.
that kind of coincides with, I feel like, is Psalm 32:8. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. The best pathway for your life. Not the easiest.
Yep.
Not the shortest.
Yep.
The best pathway for your life. I will watch over you.
It's going to be a struggle.
It's going to be a struggle. But that right there.
It's not about what we've been through. It's about where we're going.
Yeah. That's what that reminds me of.
And I think that, you know, it's a. If you step back long enough and pay attention to life and pay attention to where you're at, especially once you get on the walk for positive things, and you know, we're on a mission here to try and help people. It's not just about us. You know, when we first started, bro, we were kind of even just getting to know each other when we very first started this, and
Fair enough. Not so much, though, that we were just getting to know each other.
Right.
We were actually just getting back into knowing each other.
Right.
We were just actually getting back into the... We were great in crowds, but we weren't really hanging out a lot individually.
Right.
We were just really starting to get back into that individual relationship.
Yeah.
We hadn't done that in a long time. You know, yeah. We were on a several-year drought.
Yeah.
At that point. And then it started, once we started this, we really started just, okay, me and you hanging out individually.
Yeah, because we felt like we had to, or else this wasn't going to work.
Yeah, and which that's a true assessment. That's a very fair assessment. That's ultimately what happens. If we don't do that, that's what happens. This don't exist.
Yeah. We talked about, like, bro, this could have gone the opposite direction, too. You know what I mean? It just so happened that we're very similar people. We're different, but we're very similar, like, have similar backgrounds.
We're more alike than we are different.
Different, that's for sure.
The only difference between us is how we both react in different ways.
Right.
We're the same people, but we respond to the discomfort and the uncomfortable situations in different ways.
Yeah.
You respond by, like, I'm out. I respond with, okay, it's time to put on a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the circus clown. When I get uncomfortable, I'm typically like the class clown. I'm the circus clown. I'm the guy that's, which is really odd.
Yeah.
Very odd. And everybody's like, oh, dude, you're always so comfortable in front of crowds. No.
Not really. Not.
You've seen it now. Like, you understand it now. Like, sometimes me and you'll be standing beside each other. I'm like, no, I'm done with this. I'm out. Like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Yep. And
I will tap out quicker than anybody.
I've seen us go but the opposite directions. I've seen you go my direction when I went your direction.
Yeah.
Which is weird, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, if I loosen up enough, I do start to be more me, like the real kind of me, having a good time.
Having a great time, yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of times people don't like that guy, so I just kind of cover him up. You know what I mean? It's gotten me in trouble many times in life.
See, I'm not that way. I try to be a people pleaser, and that's the one thing that gets me. I want to have that peace when I go to sleep of, okay, look, everybody was happy.
Yeah.
Everybody likes me. I start there.
Yeah.
But then once that doesn't start working,
yeah,
I could give two shingles. You know what I mean? Like, I could really give.
Let's try.
I could give zero.
Yeah.
FUQs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I'm with you. That's just how it is. But anyways,
I thought we were going to run into tonight's book and chapter, but it didn't happen from our Bible Monday style.
Oh, no.
I thought we were going to run into it, but it hasn't happened. So
that's you.
No, it's not. It's Tuesday. I was.
Oh, yesterday. That's Tanner.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. What am I thinking? That's you.
I sent one yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Job chapter 42, if anybody wants to know.
Yes, you did. Woo. Yes, you did.
Hey, I think that the cool thing that I like about that specific chapter, you have to read the rest of it to understand why that chapter makes any sense. You know what I mean? And it was to understand that Job had been through some very crazy and difficult things, but remained faithful to
God. He was the one that was tested the most.
Yeah. And he remained
faithful. Took away everything.
Everything. His wife, there is scripture written down that says his wife said to him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" I mean, bro.
Yeah, that dude, he had everything taken away from him, and then still was as faithful as he was when he had everything.
Yep. And then whenever the testing was finally complete, goes right back to this scripture that we've been talking about all night tonight, Psalms 32:8, "I will guide you along the pathway, the best pathway for your life." It ain't easy. It's probably going to be ugly. Probably going to hurt.
Yeah.
There's some jagged rocks on that beach.
For everybody listening, check out our Bible Roulette on TikTok. It's really cool. Yep.
YouTube.
YouTube. There's multiple platforms. We have an Instagram.
Yeah.
We have a Facebook.
Bumper underscore sticker underscore wisdom is the Instagram, Facebook, John space and Jason space BSW. TikTok bumper sticker wisdom, BSW unbound 80.
That's our email address.
At Gmail.
At Gmail. Yep. RSS.com. Clearly, y'all are listening to our podcast. If you're listening, yep. You found your platform. Stick with it. For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm Jason.
And I'm John.